I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Destroy every egg-laying, chest-bursting, acid-spitting alien on the planet, or this nightmare will never end. Alien 3 on Super NES from LJN.
Oh, ooh, LJN, that means quality.
Yeah, it does.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts, and today is Tuesday, January 3rd. 2023. Welcome to the first show of the year. I don't remember there being more than one alien in the Alien 3 movie. However, you know what might make a good video game? How about one with a whole bunch of them in it? Well, don't ask me. I didn't sign up for this chicken shit outfit.
Making callbacks to the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And do you hear a pinging sound?
Yeah.
I think it's coming from inside one of these dark air ducts of our spaceship. Hey, little buddy, what are you doing in there? Oh, I think he wants a hug. Oh. A blurg.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, he's going to want, he's supposed to hug my face.
Yeah.
He's so adorbs.
Just a face hugger. What's the problem?
I know, just a face hugger, and then he's going to pop up my chest later. It's going to be fantastic. It's a whole new relationship, my friend.
Hold on a second. When we played Half-Life, did we call him face huggers in there, too? And was it just based on the alien face hugger? Now that I
you
now
know,
that
that's a good question.
First time I thought of that.
Yeah, that's all kind of mixed together now. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'll have to do research.
I was watching some Half-Life video the other day, and one of them got on a dude's face, and I went, or on, not Gordon's face, but one of the doctors in the early scenes of that game. And
that's
I went,
right. I forgot about that. You're right.
I went, yeah. Oh, these are, what are these? And I think we just called them face huggers. Are they called something else, Chad? I don't think so.
I mean, that's kind of a general term. Can you copyright something that describes what something is actually literally doing? Hugging face?
Let's see. You could call... Oh, head crabs. They called them in Half-Life. That's
See, you got me confused. You made me also think that that was true.
Yeah, that was... Noel, or what's his name? The owner of Valve. I can't think of his name. The founder.
No, Gabe.
Gabe Newell. Gabe Newell sitting around one day going, you know, we could call them face huggers. And they're like, Mr. Newell, we'll get sued
Mr.
by Fox.
Oh, Mr. Newell.
Mr. Newell, we don't want to get sued. Could we please call these something else? He's like, well, how about that thing I had a case of last summer? What'd we call that there? We call them head crabs.
Head crabs.
I done had a case of the head crabs. Anyway.
I don't Got know a bad case of head crabs.
I don't know why I sound like your neighbor. Anyway, let's move on. We got a lot to talk about, and I want to start things off by mentioning this. So when I got my Steam Deck back, one of the downsides of that was I forgot to back up all my retro crap on it.
Oh, no.
That's not right. A huge deal because it's save game. Saves were the biggest loss. Everything else, whatever, I can reload. But I lost all my saves, and that kind of annoyed me. However, I was like, well, don't worry. It's coming back. I'll do this again. And this time I'm going to use the latest version of EMU Deck because they've updated it. They've done some cool stuff with it. And now they include a bunch of homebrew, which I didn't know when you do the install. And you can still choose not to have it if you don't want to. But I did because I love seeing that stuff. And there's a ton of cool stuff like Genesis, SNES games, GBA games. Actually, every category had some number of homebrew games in them, which I think
don't
is
want your homebrew.
Homebrew is so good though, man. Some of them are awesome.
It is.
Xeno Crisis game. Oh, it's so good. So good.
That's so good.
It really is good. But anyway, so I redid that and it's all good now. It's set up. And what game am I playing first? One that I had the deepest save on and I had to start all over with. Minish Cap. Legend of Zelda.
Oh, Minish Cap. Yes. You said that you might be playing that again. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the mood for that. Get my Zelda on. It's one of my favorite Zelda games ever made. And I'm fine starting over. It's fine. I'm happy to play it again.
It's fine.
I also fired up Ristar. Do you remember Ristar?
My struggle too. Go ahead.
Oh, no. What are you going to say? Your struggle?
I'll just say it sounds like my struggle too. I've been trying to figure out a place where I can save all my saves across every retro system. Because I'm constantly jumping in and out of RetroArch and the Mr. FPGA and jumping around different places. And I would just like to, I need to figure out a way to do it more sensically. I just need to be able to have my saves everywhere. So I need to settle down with one platform, or I need to figure out some way that it cross saves.
Sure, I know there's some cloud-based something that's possible because I read about it. And there's a way to do it with EMU Deck, and you can set up it in its settings. But how that interfaces with other installs, I don't know. Because really, that's just RetroArch anyway, and Emulation Station. Yeah. It's nothing fancy.
That's part of my goal this year, though, is to work on getting some completions and some games and stuff. And that's going to mean having consistent saves because I play in so many different areas and places. So,
yeah. And I when I'm on my Mac, I use EMU or OpenEMU a lot.
I really
like that a lot. And as far as I know, that thing's going to be the biggest problem. That's not going to share saves very easy. So I got to figure this stuff out. If anyone out there's had a bunch of experience in cross-platform, for lack of a better term, save sharing across multiple installs of various emulation, bits and bobs. We'd love
bits
to hear
and bobs.
You.
We need the bits and bobs, boy.
Yeah, bits and bobs and the boy. It's a hot
Okay, so somewhat, I think you could do you can install RetroArch on Steam.
Yes.
But I don't know if the saves work like that in the cloud save.
I don't think so. I know they're not Steam cloud saves because it doesn't. I have it literally installed in Steam, but Steam doesn't do cloud saving with it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right? There's liability in that. But I know there's a way with. There's got to be a way. Even if it's some Linux folder on the Proton end that.
Yeah,
links
just save
to
it in
Dropbox
cloud
or cloud, some kind of cross platform cloud save Dropbox kind of solution or something. I don't know.
It's got to be.
Got to come up with something. Anyway, that's a thing, and I'm working on that. I also played Ristar, one of my favorite old Genesis games.
Yeah. You say Ristar, great. I say Ristar. So I know. I'm not going to argue with anybody, but yeah, that's just what I say.
The problem Ristar. With the game is they never say it out loud, so I've only ever known it as Ristar because that's just what we called it. But that little star bonking heads. That is an underrated platformer, dude. It's so good. I love it.
The way he makes use of his arms because he doesn't do like that other stupid game that I hate with no arms, just the hands.
Oh,
that
Rayman thing. You don't like that Rayman.
Yeah, I don't like that thing. I still don't like it.
No, I know you don't. You have those disembodied hands and heads and legs and stuff. That's just not your jam. I get
it. Yeah, it's not right, man. It's not right.
Yeah, but Ristar or Ristar or what the hell are you going to call it?
Right.
It's still fantastic. Still a challenge. Still fun. And I think there are two of them. I think there's a sequel, if I remember right. Maybe I'm thinking it's on Game Gear or something. But anyway, it was like this attempt to make another great platforming legacy that wasn't Sonic on the platform. And it just never took off for whatever reason. But it wasn't for gameplay. Gameplay is fantastic in there. So play it. It's a great game. Hey, Brian, how's your Earthworm Jim? This is not a euphemism. You actually have...
It's not. So I actually was going to show you my Earth. So I 3D printed an Earthworm Jim. So I'm going to show you a couple of things. I've been doing some 3D printing. If you've been listening to me, I'm probably annoying people. It's like, yeah, we get it, Brian. You're 3D printing. So I printed this. This is what's called a Lucky 13, I think is what he's called. So he's an armature that you can print off on, I think it's printables.com. And so he's an armature, but he's got this skin on the outside. And a bunch of people have made remixes, and I put a link in the show notes right next to my little thing there under pics.
Oh yeah,
printables.com. So if you go there, I started printing out my Earthworm Jim, but he just fell apart in my hands. Literally, it was the skin for it, and all you do is you just put it on the outside. My gun did it survive at least, but that little Earthworm Jim, that's what I'm working on now. I'm taking that Lucky 13, and someone made what's called a remix. Where they replaced the skin with Earthworm Jim. So I'm pretty stoked about this. It's fully posable. It's an armature. And it sticks pretty good in place. And he's got like a little display stand.
Is it, that's interesting. So the model changes though, right? The model you're printing from, like the head's so, obviously different.
Right. So there's an armature underlayer that has all the motion and, you know, how you can pose them and all of that. But then there's these pieces that wrap around it that click into place. Mm. And so you just make your model outside of that and you use the hinges and, you know, the clips and stuff to clip them on to the different characters. The head is actually what's considered a skin, and you can replace the whole head, but the rest of the body, like you can replace this chest plate outside the armature and everything. And so you get this nice little Earthworm Jim, which is perfect for this type of this style of armature.
That's cool.
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty excellent. I know we're gonna do Earthworm Jim this year, and I want to have my Earthworm Jim game on point before we do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We got to talk. We have to talk about that series. There was a time where that was like considered the greatest damn thing ever, and everybody lost their minds over it.
So good.
Yeah. And I'm still a little unsure why. I think
I still like it. I still find it to be a lot of fun. And I also printed, 3D printed this Xenomorph. I was going to do this for this week's show.
Look at that. Okay. Yeah, people, audio listeners, this thing is rad. It's like a black symbol. It's like the curled up Xenomorph. It's awesome.
Yeah. That looks if you've seen the Flexi Rex that I talked about previously, it is what's called a print in place. It's flat, but you know, it's three dimensional, but it's flat on the top and the bottoms. And it is pretty cool because the tail rolls around. It almost looks like an embryo.
Yeah. Like inside of the big queen mother. These are, well, those are an egg, I guess, but
William egg form. This looks like a real Xenomorph, and his tail flexes a little bit, but this one was real fragile. I never could get it to work just right. But I've only seen the guy who did this particular model only a couple of people have printed it out, so I'm not too surprised and have a lot of luck. I'm gonna have a little bit of experimenting to do, but I think he looks really cool. And I may just like glue him to a round 3D plate or something and just use him for cool factor because I like him. I like him.
I like him too. I don't think you should be. You should never be ashamed of that thing. That looks awesome.
I'm not ashamed of him. He's cool.
Wear it around your neck. All right.
I'm gonna wear it around my neck like I killed it.
All right. That's a great idea.
Destroy it.
Yeah. Destroy it.
You know what else is a good idea? Is talking about our main game coverage today. We are going to talk about the original Alien trilogy, Alien, Aliens, and Alien 3, but not in movie form. We're going to talk about what games sprung from them. And you'd be surprised.
Sprung forth like a chest burster right out of the movies.
Yeah. And some are bad and some are good. Mostly bad, but some good.
Most were bad.
Most were bad. Early on, especially, but I don't know. Things got real good around 3, which is funny because it's considered the worst movie, although I think in retrospect, 3 is way, way cooler than people give it credit for as a film. But anyway, we're not here to critique that film. If you ever want to hear us do that for real, you can listen to an old Film Sack episode where we talk about 3.
Should I be like the opposite side of that and go, no, Scott, you just don't understand. 3 is bad.
3 is great.
It's fine.
It's a space prison. It's a space prison. There's nothing wrong.
Well, it's like this. We'll just real quick. I'll just say it. If you had seen Alien 3 when it came out, you might have been upset because your expectations were one thing because the part 2 left you in a certain position. But now, many years later, it's not as important. We've seen everything else come and go. So, I mean, in context, it's not important.
I kind of agree. It was a thing of its time, and its ferocity of fandom was also of its time. But I will tell you what happened first with Aliens was this horrible thing. Now, you think that sounds bad? Wait till you get to this part. Listen to this. Yeah. What you're listening there to is Alien, the game on the 2600.
The very first Alien game from 1982.
82. Here's what they did. They made a Pac-Man clone. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, literally, there's like glowing dots you eat that that you then go eat one of the ghosts who have now turned blue. Ghosts, I'm sorry. Xenomorphs who have now turned blue so you can eat them. And then you try to clear the level. And then there's like a bonus level that plays like Frogger, which you're now watching. And it's just you dodging Xenomorphs, which I guess that's what these are supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually, I like these xenomorphs. They're hilarious. They look like they're mostly mouth, which I guess xenomorphs kind of are. And it's just like these big open mouths. They're all colorful little neon colors like you would see with Pac-Man. There's only four aliens. And instead of dots, you're picking up eggs, apparently. We're not really picking them up. You're destroying them by walking over them, I suppose, in a maze.
This is Ripley shaped. Inserting every egg into her various orifices as she runs around.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, got
one. Okay, there's another one. Okay, and they're also colored like, you know, this is how I don't know if they have names, but these are colored like Pinky, Blinky, Clyde, and whatever.
They are.
It's real dumb.
It is, and it's dumb to look at. And I was like, oh, what is this craptastic crap?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun for about 10 minutes. It really is kind of fun for about 10 minutes playing this Pac-Man. Because it's for the Atari 2600, if you remember the Pac-Man on that, it was like it had multi-screens kind of thing because they didn't fit all the maze on one screen. This one is just a single screen maze, and it only has three ghosts to kind of accommodate for the fact that it would be super crowded with four xenomorphs. And just on the surface, it's not too bad. You pick up pulsars instead of the power pills, and you get to use a flamethrower, which is interesting in how it either stalls out or reverses course for the aliens that are coming at you. So, like I said, it's fun for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
I tried it for about 10.
Yeah.
And you probably was
like, that's enough.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to, you know what? I think it's better than the Pac-Man, the actual Pac-Man game on 2600.
Agreed.
Which is a real, that sounds crazy, but it's true. It's okay.
Except for the Frogger part, I was really disappointed that it wasn't more like the real Frogger. You know, it's just, it's all about collecting points, and you're trying to get across the xenomorph road to get to the object at the end so you can get some points.
Yeah.
But you only can go in a straight line. You can't come back down. You can't like go across or anything, which was the most disappointing part.
That's unfortunate. I don't know. There was an opportunity here to go further with it. They only went as far as they had to go.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Boy, what a blinky mess all those dots are, though. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Oh, they're funny because they're not like, you know how everything is perfectly in line in Pac-Man with the dots. The dots are kind of like, they're not right, really in a straight line. They're kind of like zigzagged almost, even though you're walking straight and picking them up straight. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then things got a little weird. All right.
Weirder.
Commodore 64 comes along. This is 1986, so Aliens is out now, it's a thing. It's a force to be reckoned with, and that sounds like this. There's that cool C64 sound chip again.
Yeah, this is the Aliens, not the Alien from 1984. Right. The Commodore 64, by the way.
Or anyway, that's kind of what that sounded like. The important bit here is that it is short.
Yeah,
but kind of okay. It's basically six mini games that make up an entire game. Feels like a lot of C64 games, if I'm honest. They all kind of did this.
Yeah, there was a lot of smaller developers who made these C64 games, and they were just, you know, they just, we would call it shovelware pretty much now. It had its moments. I did play this in a good bit, believe it or not, because of the first mini game. This Commodore 64 game recaps the very first part, like the first part of the Aliens movie, and it's all about you hearing the story about what happened to Ripley and what's going on the planet, and then you have this drop where you gotta remember the part where they all drop down to the planet. So you got to do this whole ring drop thing where you gotta guide your ship through these rings, and it's infuriating, but it's also kind of fun.
Yeah, it's not bad
to do some of these mini games.
There's also this weird little, I'll pause it for a second for those watching live, but there's this little scene where Ripley's talking to the crew. So back here somewhere is Vasquez. Oh, that's her right there, I guess. Her arm's weird. You got Napone over here in the back. I'm sure Hicks and them are there. You can't really tell. It's kind of terrible. But she says,
Just imagine 8-bit computer graphics showing an actual scene from the movie. It really is pretty much one-to-one a movie scene.
Yeah, 100%. Here's a shot of that drop. Let's see if I can show people this.
So the drop is...
It's pretty dumb.
It's It's awesome because it's kind of fast. You don't always get fast games on Commodore 64, and it is just it looks three-dimensional, even though it's not.
Jeez, seizure warning. Sorry, everybody at home. Look at the blinking on this thing. Jeez Louises.
That's because if you do good, I think you stay. So you got a your how you're doing line on the right-hand side. It's like green, yellow, red. Mm-hmm. And if you miss enough of the rings, your ship will start shaking and flashing, and you'll just die.
Yeah.
And have to start over again.
Yeah. It's actually not a bad experience, this right here. I kind of enjoyed this.
No. This is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was stupid, but I loved it.
You know, I was thinking about it while I was playing it. I played it on a SNES controller.
Right.
I don't feel like this would have felt as good on those weird controllers you had on the C64. That would have been
I played it with the Xbox controller, and I used the analog stick, and it worked okay. Yeah. I was using Vice's emulator, so it operated fine.
Something else I noted, but I know I'd talked about this already, but you just reminded me of something. I was messing with the EMU deck, the latest build, and the game didn't, at least when I was using it before, unless I did something wrong, which is entirely possible, but it wouldn't support analog sticks in like old games. It just didn't do it. And I was like, oh, that's fine. Yeah. They were all D-pads, whatever. It supports it now. So all the games, I can roll around with my analog stick, and some of them are good. Like Minish Cap plays wonderfully with the analog stick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what changed there. Those guys are awesome. They keep updating.
Yeah, I wonder if the default was not to use it, because I mine definitely has it, but I may have tweaked some stuff.
May have missed an option that I clicked on and didn't even know I did it. Anyway, this game is at least interesting. I like this stuff where she's running around shooting.
Right,
because it shows the screens of the other Marines, and you don't know who's dead or who's not dead yet, and all that. I think that's a kind of a nice touch.
Yeah,
it's weirdly ambitious, but also kind of at the end of the day, it's not greater than it's the sum of its parts. It's just kind of okay.
I find it. This one kind of cracked me up because first of all, it's called Aliens - the computer game.
The computer.
In case you didn't know what it was, and then the UK. They released it after they released in the U.S. And I think it's something like Aliens, the computer game, U.S. or something. It's like it gets really long. They keep getting very specific because there was actually a U.K. game for Aliens, I think, that was out at about the same time that we did not.
Oh, we never got here, eh? That's a bummer.
Yeah. Never got here, eh?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it's still not like blockbuster break down the house. Oh, my gosh, what an amazing game. Like, it's okay.
No.
It was a good
weekend with your Commodore 64, getting to see these Xenomorphs in their 8-bit PC computer form that, you know, they're pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I like that they're all walking up, right, like they're dudes.
They're dudes. They're just like, hello, we have come to kill you.
Hello, we would like to have an exchange of thought, an idea, if you don't mind. Anyway, it's cool and worth checking out. Now, let's talk about the one that I put the most quarters in because it was in the damn arcade, and it was this.
Aliens.
Hold up. Sorry, you gotta hear this part.
Aliens.
If that doesn't sound like an arcade game, I don't know what does.
This is killing it, man. But don't you love this? The Aliens arcade game.
Aliens. Aliens.
Why is this voice like this?
Aliens.
I hate it.
I love it.
I hate it. It's like, hey, what's that light in the sky? Attention. Hey, Bill, what do you see in the sky?
Aliens.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it must be aliens. Hey, who probed your butt?
Aliens.
Oh, man. You were probed by aliens?
Aliens.
Okay, I'll quit playing that now. Freaking hate it. But anyway.
I love it.
The game is great. Very fun. Yeah. Side-scrolling. I mean, it's like all those games then, right? What was the year? 90? Yeah. 1990?
90. This was the same year that you would have went and played the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was side-scrolling. There was an onslaught of aliens. It was, like I said, it was side-scrolling, but it was also a rail shooter. So you would have a mix of, you would go along a little bit. And you keep trying to chase down. I love these games because they always had one of the characters on screen that you were basically trying to rescue from the bad guys. In this case, it was Newt, which was true to the movie as well. And she's like constantly, trying to escape at the end of each level.
She's always in a hole somewhere, and you're always getting her out. It's a little hand wavy as to why that's happening, but. Also, you fight. She just beat a boss that doesn't appear in the movie at all. I don't know what the hell that thing was. Some kind of long.
Yeah, I do like it. It's one of those. It's very Contra, right? You do some side scrolling for a little bit, and the next thing you know, you got this rail shooter thing going on. That first boss is creepy. It's got that long, weird neck coming at you. Yep. Oh, it's so creepy.
This is multiplayer, right? Couldn't you have at least two people in this?
There's two players. I really wish there was more, but there was only two players. And Ripley gets her. She's got her rifle. I mean, I'm sorry, her rocket launcher right now. But she really shines when she gets that flamethrower. In my opinion, I like the flamethrower.
And it was the second best selling arcade game after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles of that year. So it did business, did good.
Yeah.
Freaking Konami. It's a cool game. I think Konami was making. I mean, they were in charge of all this shit now, right? Yeah. Who made this one though? This isn't them. Oh, it is Konami.
Is it?
Oh, it is them. I mixed them up with somebody else. I didn't realize they also made this game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So back then it was like, hey, it's the 90s. And the guy says, it is. What's your problem? I think we should hire Konami for all the things that are in arcades forever.
And Konami said, forever okay. is so hot. But yeah, like the chat room points out, it's got a little bit of the elevator action going on. Where you're trying to protect the elevator as you're going down, and the xenomorphs are jumping on top. By the way, the xenomorphs are very colorful.
Pink.
They're pinks and purples, and they're very bright. It's very arcade. Everything is loud and bright and colorful and explosive, and I freaking love it.
What do you think of this this roly ball alien? I wish that was in the movie.
I love the roly ball. It's before the droids in Star Wars Episode One came along, right? So. Yeah. Yeah. You got your little Metroid looking roly ball alien. He looks more like where I look at him, the less I like him though. He looks more and more like an armadillo.
Yeah, he does because it's all shell and stuff.
Yeah, he's all shell and he's got the tail and it kind of curls underneath him. I don't like it.
I'll tell you what I like about it. I like that this is an example of an IP where the developers don't feel too precious about making it all perfect. They can get weird.
Yeah,
like this has zombies in it. Look at this. That's a zombie up there with a gun.
Why not?
Yeah, why not, I guess. Have some zombies. Here's some more. Let's get them out. There's some.
You know what aliens the movie needed? Zombies.
It needed some zombies. I mean, maybe it was just part of the place we never got to see. That's how you have to look at it. You know? While Bishop is circling around the place, really there were zombies.
Right, and making us nervous. Thanks a lot, Bishop. Just come pick us up, dadgummit.
Yeah.
I was trying to save the show. Oh, shut up. Just come on.
Yeah, shut up. I'm Bishop.
But, anyway. Oh, man, and then there's a boss fight here, too, if it goes far enough. But, oh, my God, this thing is just cranked up. So everything we had seen up to this point was kind of like, here's a little alien, alien game, and we're kind of timid about everything going on here. And then comes along this thing, and it's like loud and super bombs and everything else, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it was designed to eat your quarters, so it was hard.
Yeah.
It was difficult. There's a lot of stuff on screen at once. Maybe a little unfair, you might say. She gets to get into the big loader.
She gets in the loader, which is that exoskeleton forklift thing.
Yeah, love it. Where she goes, get over here, bitch, or whatever she does. That's not what it is it? That's Mortal Kombat. What am I thinking of?
No, but I love your interpretation of it. I also don't remember. I am starting to remember this part. This is the part where those stupid walls come down and you can't get through there because you got the big old giant exoskeleton suit and it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Thing was awkward, but it was great. Great quarter muncher. Yeah. Great game. Congratulations to Konami for actually making the first good Aliens game.
Yeah. Up until then was kind of. It was kind of more like I said, they were just kind of timid with the whole thing. I'm like, you don't need to be timid. You need to bring a game.
Yeah, bring your A-game. Now, speaking of A-game, they forgot about A-game with Alien 3 for a while. Okay? I'm going to share with you. So this, I'm going to show you Game Gear footage. It is basically the same as the NES footage. All right? It's not that different. They're both 8-bit kind of, it's the same game, basically.
Same game, yeah.
I actually kind of like the Game Gear game. I think it fits well for a small screen. I think it's way too mazy, though, and you don't know where the hell you are, and there's no map. Freaking hate that.
Yeah.
But
this is like the Metroid you don't like, right?
Yeah.
That's
a good way of putting it. Here's sound from it. You know, 8-bit as hell, super scratchy, all 80 or double A's working hard to get this game going. But I didn't like all the maze stuff, like going into vents and then trying to find your way around those vents. It got real tedious real quick. But overall, when you're out in the open, I actually think the Game Gear game has some advantages, certainly over the Genesis game, which we'll get to in a minute. Because that's an abomination, that thing. What the frick were they doing?
I disagree. I won't say it's great, but I got to say that I kind of liked, because I feel like I'm just, this felt more like an arcade game somewhat. Mm. You know, you just memorize things and you just keep going back through and you just try to get perfect timing, because this all time based. Most of the missions are time based, so you gotta do better this time than you did last time, and keep enough energy or health to rescue the prisoners and complete your missions and things.
But could she look stupider than she is in this Genesis footage? Look at this chat room.
This is Alien 3 we're talking about here. So Ripley now has shaved her head, and this was both probably a boon and also a trouble for all these game developers, because, you know, she's a bald-headed character, and it's kind of hard to capture the essence.
Mm-hmm. Just looks like an army brute of some sort, girl. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Although this, again, the Genesis version, this looks barely like a person. Like, it's a carrot or something. It's wrong. It's just so ugly. This is such an ugly game. I'm not saying it doesn't play well enough or any of that. I'm just saying, like, even the music, listen to this. This is terrible. Here's that one. Where is it? Okay, this is fine. This. What are we, Jungle Cruise USA here? It's terrible, man. That's not aliens. That's freaking terrible. That's Donkey Kong's about to come around the corner and go, and you got to go save stupid Kong. Yeah,
I couldn't decide because I don't know. Since I had to play it over and over again, that music just kind of disappeared on me. I noticed the same thing when I first started playing it. But after I played it for a while, it just kind of disappeared on me, which is probably a good thing. Mm. I need it probably to disappear playing it over and over again. So
it's obnoxious.
I can't say.
Very obnoxious music.
Yeah. I won't say it's a good game. I won't say it's a great game. I don't know if I can say it's a good game. There's fun to be had. How about that? There's fun to be had in this game.
It's passable. I could have seen this. You put this out 10 years prior in an arcade, would have been the greatest thing you ever saw.
Yeah, it's definitely more of an arcade game. If I spent $24 or $20, that Xenomorph just come flying by. Ball damage this game too.
Oh, that's the other thing. Can we just mention this real quick since we're talking about 3? 3 had one alien. That was the whole point of 3. 3 did not have multiple aliens. They tried to get others to come, and they almost did before Ripley went into the hot drink.
Right.
In this game, in all the Alien 3 games, including the good one, we haven't talked about yet, they all feature nonstop aliens. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So all of them took liberty that way, because here's the truth. The idea of one alien haunting everybody throughout the entire film, the entire game, would have been difficult until our future, which we live in now. In 2014's Alien Isolation, that is what the game is. It's one alien, and you're all trying to deal with it, and it is brilliant. It's incredible, but we needed a bunch of innovations before we'd get there, you know?
Yeah, that would only be good if it was a stealth game, like, kind of, right? That would make more sense to have one alien as stealth. But yeah, if you these levels would be pretty boring if you didn't have something to shoot.
Yeah, you're right.
But I kind of like it. It's not the worst thing I've ever experienced. And at the right price, it would definitely be. But I wouldn't say this is like a half price game. You know what I mean? Like, if it came out as half the price of a lot of these $50 or $60 games for the Genesis, I would have been fine.
Yeah, that would have been okay. That's a fair point. But here's the biggest problem it was up against. And it's this right here.
You mean a good game?
A good game. So that's the opening music to the game Alien 3 on the Super Nintendo, a completely different development than any of these other two or three or however many.
Yeah, well, what they had, like, for the Sega Master System, the NES, the Genesis, the Game Gear, all had pretty much the same game with different scaling, a little bit different levels, but for the most part, all the same game mechanics and stylings. But then Alien 3 SNES was like, nope, we're doing something like, different.
Nope, we're going to give her the longest jump of all time.
I
she's love a the superhero. Jump is amazing. We're going to let her switch between weapons. We're going to let her, we're going to give her missions that she can choose and then accomplish before she does other missions. So there's almost like a non-linearity to how you handle, how you tackle missions.
Oh, look at those backgrounds too.
Backgrounds are beautiful. The animations look great. It's a way, it's by far a superior looking game. Yeah. And the sound is better. The music's better. The tone of it feels like an Aliens thing. It's actually kind of scary.
Yeah.
There's it's difficult, dying sucks, like it's a very good, this is a good video game, and a lot of lists I looked at were like 17th best SNES game ever or whatever. It was in the top 100 for everybody.
It blew my mind. I had never played this version. I'd only played a little bit of the Genesis version and was always like, okay, it's all right. But this, I put this on, this is the first game that has gone on my 2023 must complete list, and this is a brutally hard game, but I feel like it's really worth it. I feel well rewarded every time I played this game over the weekend. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game and worthy of playing even today.
Yeah, I love the terminals. You approach terminals and you get to choose your missions, and it's a little confusing at first to understand what you're supposed to do, because there's a lot going on. When you first start, you may not even notice the terminals. Matter of fact, I didn't even notice the terminals. I'd walk past the terminals. I felt like I was in a game. It's kind of like the overworld part.
Yeah.
That's in the main Sector 12 or whatever, in the main hallways and things. And then if you approach the terminals, it'll tell you, oh, here's a mission where you can rescue other prisoners. And it'll give you the option to look at the blueprints of the facility, and you can dig down through the blueprint facilities into different rooms, because there's like rooms and then sub rooms of those rooms. So just because it says you got to rescue some people in cell block 4, that may not be where you have to go first. You might have to go to the med bay first, then get to cell block 4. I know it's not exactly accurate, but you got to do all that. And there's a good balance of getting health and getting weapons. You get flamethrowers, you got pickups for bullets and stuff, and just a well-designed game, good levels. I'm with you, though. The crazy long jumps are a little bit silly.
They're a bit much, but I also kind of like the intensity of them. It's like, am I going to make this? Oh, my gosh, I am going to make this jump. This feels great. Like, there's something
about
that.
At this point, this kind of sticks with the story, because Sigourney Weaver's character is imbued with a little bit of supernatural powers because she's carrying the alien baby, right? Spoiler. So I think, didn't they allude to that somewhat in the movie? I'm trying to remember.
Not in three. Well, other than she had, we knew she was carrying it at some point.
The aliens weren't attacking her.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She was pregnant.
That's right. And this one, they're attacking her like crazy. They're like, hey.
Right.
What you're thinking about is four. In four, she was half alien. She had alien DNA. Right. She was a clone of former Ridley Scott. Yeah. Combined with the DNA of the alien. And as a result, she had super strength. She could, like, her blood was acid on, if she bled, it would like bleed through the floor, burn through the floor and all that.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I kind of like four. I'm not a hater on four. I have a good time with it.
There's never been, I like every alien movie, and including the Prometheus stuff. I love all of it, and you can hate me for it. Don't care. Love all of it. It's just a guilty pleasure of mine. I can admit that some are not as good as others. Not a problem.
It's fine.
But it's fine. It's fine. I like all of them. I will spend any Saturday afternoon watching any Prometheus or Alien movie right now.
Zero issues. I could watch all four in a row and the new ones. I love Prometheus, and I love Covenant. Yeah. I like it all. Well, whatever.
Covenant's go good. Yeah.
Covenant's great. I hope David's good, which is still, I think, in production. But
like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, I probably have rosy goggles on or whatever they are, some alien goggles on. I probably have a chest burster in my chest right now that's probably telling me to love all this stuff.
Yeah, because eventually you're going to go at breakfast and your family's going to have to figure out what to do with you. You'll be like, what was his name in that? John Hurt's character. I can't think of his name. Brad. No, it's not Brad.
It's something like that, though. It's like something
basic.
Yeah, shit. Something basic. He's a basic Brad. He's a basic Brad. We're going to call him
Bishop,
a basic Brad.
Not Bishop, everybody. We're talking the first movie, Guy with the Chestburster. John Hurt played the character.
Yeah, John Hurt. What was that? What was his name?
Came back, was really hungry. Heartburn. He was really hungry at breakfast, and he was like, "Ah, oh, man, I got to eat." And he was voracious about eating, and then suddenly he was like, "Brr," and lost it. And then the thing came out. It's famous, man. 1978 or nine,
yeah,
whatever.
Check it out, man. There's a lot more famous than that Pac-Man clone that Atari put out.
Whatever. That's the truth. What a piece of shit. Don't like that thing.
Kane, was that it? Does that sound right? Kane.
No, I think. Kane.
Is that right?
Is it Kane? It might be Christ. Kane. It's definitely not sound like Brad.
This is just reminding me that it has been too long since I broke out my steel box version of the Aliens series and went through it.
Yeah. Ash was the synthetic. Kane was the guy. They're right. They have it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Our chat room's smart.
Nailed it.
Anyway, that was the thing, and it was great, and I highly, highly recommend that version of Alien 3. The rest...
Yeah,
it's worth it experimenting with, like Brian said, just to see it.
Yeah,
but if you can spend money like on an old cart somewhere, get the SNES game. It's a better game.
If you want to be impressed, if you've been going, I've been looking for a good Sega Master System game. It's actually a pretty darn good. It kind of blew me away that the 8-bit version console versions of Alien 3 were as good as they were. They were pretty darn good considering.
What's still crazy to me is they were still printing and publishing Master System games in 1992 or 3.
Crazy.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. Was that when the one just came out in Europe and in Brazil? I'm not sure. I can't remember. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I played that one a good bit.
Well, there you go. Go check that one out. That's why we spent so much time on that one. But now, get ready, because the Game Boy has something to say. And it decides to say it in a very different way. I don't have any. Oh, yeah, I do. Whoops, why is it so quiet? So as you can, it's hard to tell, but this is all about
aliens.
And it's what you think. It's aliens, but it's a top-down weird thing. It's weird. I hardly see any aliens in it. It's mostly just walking around looking at shit. It's very weird.
So this is an exploration game, and you're right. When you first start, there's really not really many aliens. You're in a prison, you're on that prison planet still. We're aliens, and so when it first starts, you wake up in the hospital, and there's not really any aliens, but they slowly start multiplying and coming out at the pod places, which you haven't gotten to yet. So it's actually a pretty smart game. Only thing is, I had totally forgotten about these kind of game mechanics where in order to pickups, you walk over near an object that you recognize as a pickup, and then you have to go into the select menu and you have to do a C, and you look and it'll tell you what it is. Like, it could be a data card, or it could be, like a rod or a rifle or a flamethrower. So it's a whole bunch of different things it could be. And then you pick that up and you have to equip it. At first, like I said, it's a slow start at first. No way aliens really to see, but that's good because you need time to go out and get equipped. So here's the aliens that are starting to show up.
Yeah, yeah. And you got this crazy inventory. It's just full of shit. It seems like a game I would actually like to play, but I don't think I want to do it on this little postage stamp freaking Game Boy screen, you know?
I actually enjoyed it a lot. And what I did was, okay, the first thing I got to recommend is use the Pocket Girl color scheme, because that's amazing. I still had it from last week, Barbie. I still have my color palette on my Gambat emulator for this. So it was fantastic. All the aliens were like purples and pinks and stuff. It's fantastic.
Really? It looked good, eh? I'm surprised.
It looked really good. Way better than this monochrome black and white gray crap we're looking at right now. That looks boring.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. It looks like, it looks like... Game and Watch or something. It's kind of reminds me of.
But there's, it's not just about shooting aliens. It's also about solving environmental puzzles, finding data cards so you get a backtrack some, so you can get to certain areas. You go find the eggs. You got to destroy them. So your weapon pickups get stronger. So the further away you get from the base, the better weapons you pick up, because there's going to be more aliens. So it's kind of smart. It's a smart little game, really.
Yeah, it's got ambition. I respect it for that. I just wish, here again,
it wasn't this poop.
Yeah, it wasn't kind of poopy, schmoopy. But also, just like, once again, we're seeing a thousand aliens where they just was one in that movie. It's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to, you definitely just have to turn your brain off and go, okay. Because there's like, right now he's doing an environmental puzzle where he's got to, if you remember the fans, the big giant fans in the movie, you had to turn off certain parts of it so you can get through. Otherwise, you get blown away or get sucked in.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of, I kind of liked it.
Yeah. I say, there's an ambition here that I respect. I actually think the environment art is kind of insane.
It's all right. It's not bad. Is it for a Game Boy? It's pretty freaking spectacular. That thing is, you look at that environment, man, that is a lot went into this game, man. Mm-hmm. A lot went into this game.
More than I'm used to from a Game Boy game, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Some ambition there. All right. There's other stuff. Now, one thing we haven't brought up, you guys probably noticed, we haven't brought up any of the AVP stuff, Alien versus Predator games. They have their fans. People are into those. Specifically, the Jaguar has a very popular AVP game, I believe, if I remember right. We're not really covering those. Not so much that they don't matter. Time. They're just not in the main line. Mm-hmm. And we're really talking about the original trilogy, so that's the reason we've sort of stuck there. But there are others worth mentioning. For example, the Alien trilogy in 1996. This was a first-person shooter, basically a Doom clone that was made by Probe. Probe was put in charge of a lot of the Alien stuff. They did other versions as well.
They did that, and they also did the Die Hard trilogy at about this time, too.
Oh, that was them as well. I didn't realize.
Yeah, coincidence? I think not.
That game's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, the way this game worked, it was a Doom clone. You played levels inspired by each of the movies. Not just a shooter. You have mission goals related to the films as well. Xenomorphs is 2D sprites, basically look like bad guys in Doom.
Yeah, Doom. And it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. And I mentioned last week, and I was going to bring video of it and forgot, but so you can find it real quick. But the Doom, there was a Doom wad somebody made to be like a full conversion for Aliens.
Yeah,
I'm going to find it real quick. It scared the shit out of me. I played that at night with the lights off, my headphones on, my wife's upstairs, and I'm.
Isn't it weird how 2D sprites in a 3D world could actually, you could get so engrossed that it actually can freak you out? It's weird.
Yeah, it is very weird. Oh, I found it. Here it is. Doom Mod Madness. Thing. And it had all the sounds and everything. It was really well done. So if I can skip ahead some.
I emulated this a little bit on the PlayStation emulation, but I did not play it on the Saturn. I was curious to see how it differed. But my Doom on my Saturn is pretty serviceable. It works pretty good.
It's not bad. I mean, look at this
room. Look at that. That looks really good. And stuff. They got some shaders going on, too. That looks good.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I mean, basically, it's just a Doom mod, Doom conversion, but it was so well done, it scared the pee-pee out of me. And there were times when a little... Oh, there's this eggs. They had the eggs. You had to blow them up. There was times where a little black figure of a xenomorph would like whip past inside of a vent or something, and it was legit scary. Like, they knew what they were doing with this mod.
Yeah,
I was always really impressed with it. I can't even. But
that's
at
what
it.
You need in an Aliens game. Any of these Aliens games, they all pretty much share the common DNA, like flamethrowers, which we're watching kind of right now, and you got to crawl through air ducts. There's always that. There's usually like some kind of pinging radar, which really sucked, by the way. We talked earlier about the Sega Genesis Aliens Alien 3. That thing was pointless.
Yeah.
The aliens were already in your face by the time the little ping happened.
Yep.
What else do you need for an alien game? You gotta have that. You gotta have Ripley, of course, right?
Yeah. I mean, you gotta have Ripley. She's your hero. What else are you gonna do there? You know?
Yeah.
You change
gotta fight
that.
A boss queen.
Although I did by the way, so I'm playing I don't know what this says. You know, back in the 90s, games with male protagonists, totally common. All the time.
Right.
Everybody. Duke Nukem to whoever. They're all male. And you don't get to change it. It is who it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm playing Little Mermaid the other day to see if it's something I want to stream or not. And guess what? You can be the Little Mermaid or you can be your dad.
Oh, wow. You could be king. Who's the king of the sea?
King Trident or whatever his name is.
King Tritons.
Yeah, you could be that guy. So in that one, it's like, oh, we better let the boys have a choice. Freaking 90s, man. It's so weird.
They don't want to play as the Little Mermaid. I would love to play as the Little Mermaid. That's hilarious. Yeah, speaking of male voices and stuff, The SNES version of Alien 3, you played a little bit of the audio, but did you get to the point where they had Bill Paxton say game over?
Oh, I forgot to do that. I meant to, because it's not even the same movie. It's just like this weird throw-in, right, of a little voice
sample. It's not from the movie, because you know the game over man is in the movie, Bill Paxton does. And there's a different version of it, a little bit different in the video game, the SNES version. It's still Bill Paxton, but they recorded it separately because of some kind of copyright issues with the 20th century.
But isn't it weird that they took a quote from the second film and put it in the third film game? It's weird.
It's weird.
It's really weird. I wish it sounded like this.
He wins.
I wish that was it. Okay. Another few mentions here. Alien 3, the gun game, the arcade gun thing. Pick up a gun and shoot at the screen. Gun, light gun game. I don't remember that being that special.
No.
Is my memory. It's like, it looked like all the others, like the Terminator game and all those. It just looked like that. Then there was the Aliens Thanatos encounter on the Game Boy Color. This was top down again. Another clunky kind of shootery thing. You did not like
this. It.
You did not
That one.
Why did you hate that so bad?
It was just impossible to play.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it was top down and you're moving. You got 8 directions, of course.
Yeah.
And you're moving, but you're very slow and clunky in your movements. And the aliens are hopping around, bouncing around. And every time you shoot, the bullet, which is just a little pellet, comes out your gun.
Yeah.
It's like really frustratingly hard to shoot anything. And it's like this huge map area. And it's like, protect the area. And you're like, okay. And you're running around. You got to kill like 75 aliens, like the first level. And you can't find any freaking aliens to shoot. When you finally do, they just run circles around you. It was just so frustrating. The gameplay was just terrible. It was just, ugh.
That guy really hauls ass on the diagonal run, I've noticed.
Oh, he does. This is one of those games where if you go east, east, west, north, south is slow. But if you go diagonal, look at this.
This looks bad.
Look how slow that is. And that's when they're not moving.
Yeah, that looks bad.
They're just standing there.
I didn't play this one this week. I played everything but this. The gun arcade game I couldn't play.
Yeah.
Oh, and this other one. There's one called Aliens, A Comic Book Adventure for DOS.
Yeah,
big multimedia
Dark Horse
deal.
Comics.
Yeah,
Dark Horse Comics did the Aliens comic, and this was a DOS multimedia experience for the comic. I played around with it a little bit. I thought it was kind
of
neat.
Yeah, I didn't play this, but I saw some of it. Here, chat. We'll take a look at a little bit of this here. It is interesting. It's like it's a point and click adventure. Basically, and
it looks okay. It looks
it's okay.
All right.
It's
a
all
DOS
right.
game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. They had the license then. It's gone back to Marvel now. By the way, one of my great disappointments of the last year or so was reading the first run of new Alien comics now that Marvel has the rights again after buying Fox. They just aren't – they don't lean into the – look, I hate to say this. These xenomorphs are bloodthirsty bastards. They want to jam their third mouth or whatever into your head. And blow your brain out, right? So that's what they do. And they don't do that in these comics because Marvel's all Disneyed up now. And
yeah.
They can't do anything gross, which just, I don't know, it felt like what a waste. Like, why are you even doing this? It makes me worry about Blade and that, because how are they going to do that stuff?
One of the things I've always respected about the Alien series is that it is rated R and not because of sexuality or necessarily human on human violence,
right?
But just the darkness of the topic. It is, it's life or death. It is very intense and dark. And I've always, it makes me feel like an adult when I'm watching it, right?
Yep.
Same. I don't feel like I'm watching, there's nothing sugary in the Alien series. There's nothing sugary about it.
No, it's the true form of space horror. It's what you want.
Yeah.
It's what I want. I'm not going to lie to you. That's what I want. So when they get it and they just make it kind of watered down, I was like, eh. And it's weird because in the same year I read a Warhammer 40K comic on Marvel that I thought was going to be watered down, and it was not. It was hardcore as hell. So I don't get it. Who's in charge over there at Marvel Comics?
Who knows anymore? Stan Lee's passed. I don't know who's in charge anymore.
Well, the editor's still, I forgot his name. Used to be an artist himself.
Right.
I can't remember his name. Jim Lee's over at DC. I always mix them up. Anyway, then there was Aliens Online. Now, I inserted this one here because I think it deserves a mention. This was a little later, 1998. And Aliens Online, I tried this back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I did, too.
Let me see if I can pull it up. It was an online shooter. You played mostly over your dial-up connection.
Yeah.
Because that's what you had. And that's how it worked. Anyway, it was head-to-head stuff. And you could be a Marine or you could be a alien. And you Quake-style shot stuff. That's the era we're talking about as far as graphics. And it's okay. It's not great.
I'm here to say it's okay.
It's okay. I had some fun.
It's not nearly as fast as like the Doom because it couldn't be because it was online gaming. I remember playing this a little bit too. It was okay.
It was okay. For what they were trying to pull off, I think it was all right. As you can see, it's a mix of actual 3D environments and 2D sprites and stuff, which was common then. Quake was the weird one. I don't think it had any 2D sprites other than textures.
No, it was all 3D stuff, if I remember correctly.
And it's also ugly as shit as a result, but whatever.
Still, but who cares?
Yeah, who cares? It's
fun.
Fine.
It was so fast and so much fun. By the way, Monkey Bananas in the chat room posted a clip. If you want to see, I didn't do the Barbie colors on that one. That was a little bit of my gameplay with the Game Boy version of Alien 3.
I want to see this.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks blue.
Yeah, I actually went with I think it was something called like an Alien Blue or something. I ended up changing the palette. I thought that was the one with the Barbie palette.
Oh, I want to see the Barbie palette in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send you the information.
Hey, Monkey Bananas, go get the Barbie palette. What are you doing?
Go get the Barbie palette, Monkey Bananas.
Yeah. What are you doing?
He clipped that yesterday because I did the side probe because there's a part where you get a probe and when you're standing, like north, south, it looks like you've got a probe. When you're standing east, west, it looks like you're shooting something out of your crotch. It looks like you're the alien.
Oh, geez. That's
what it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, nobody wants that. I promise you. Well, that's awesome. It's a fun thing to explore, you guys. And by the way, as I mentioned Alien Isolation, it is just as good today as it was when it was released in 2014. Yes. Up till this point in history, Alien 3 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System was the best Aliens franchise game adaptation by far. Mm-hmm. And it kind of stayed that way, in my opinion. Again, not counting AVP and some of those. There's some decent stuff there. But you just count the mainline, movies about Alien and Aliens and Alien 3. It was the best. Jump forward. This tops it. 2014's Alien Isolation is amazing. It's Ripley's daughter while Ripley is away for 50 years in cryostasis. So it's a sequel basically to Alien. But not a prequel to Aliens, I guess.
Right.
And I forgot her daughter's name, Aiden or something like that, or I forgot.
Should have named him.
She had a cool name.
Should have named him Newt.
Ripley Jr.
Rip Jr.
Anyway, that game's still scary as hell. It looks amazing on modern machines. You can play it on Game Pass for free. I played it on PC. It looked insane on my PC. It's really good, you guys. They should make a sequel to that business. It's an incredible film or game. And then Aliens Fireteam Elite. When it launched, it didn't get a ton of praise. I think it was a little buggy at launch, but it has shaped up very nicely. And so if you're looking for another modern Aliens-based game, it is a good team-based co-op game on Steam and consoles. New in the last couple of years, and it's legit scary and really fun. And when hordes of these things come at you, it's insane. It looks great. Like it's a proper game. It's very good. So I highly recommend that as well. Brian, I think that's it for Aliens.
We did a pretty good job on the Alien series. It was, oh my God. When we first said it, I was like, oh yeah. And it was like about 3-4 Alien games. And of course, once I dug deeper, I was like, oh,
it's always more.
We did it again.
There's plenty we didn't mention. You know, I know there are going to be those Jaguar heads that are going to be mad that we didn't bring those up. But
yeah,
you'll be fine. You guys calm down.
I think we stayed pretty much on topic. We said we were going to do the Alien games that were based on the Alien trilogy, the first three. And I think we did a pretty good job of covering most of those. Yeah, most of them.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, and now I'm going to push this button again for the right time. I guess I meant, did I do this already?
Oh, there's the Barbie.
I did destroy it in the wrong place. It's supposed to be this. You guys know the thing. I screwed up and hit the wrong one. So now I'll do this one.
Destroy it.
That's great. First show of the year, I mix up my clips. That's fantastic. Hey, Brian, let's talk about this contest we give each other each week. We call it Guess My Game. We play a little audio from an old game, and we try to guess each other's selection. I'm going to start this week with one for the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES.
Oh, the NES, yes. Yep.
And here are your hints. Scroll up. There we go. 1994 is the year.
Okay, 1994. All right. I'm in the frame of mind. It's kind of late for the NES, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, this would have been tail end because 94, geez, you were a year and a half away from Japanese release of this freaking PlayStation.
Yeah.
So it's a little late for the NES. NES still made a lot of stuff, though, during the height of the SNES, which is a little bit weird. But anyway, this was 1994, published by Taito.
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 Taito, you say.
Here is your clip.
Very happy.
That first part should have given it away, but it's not.
Really? Didn't sound familiar at all. Well, okay.
It's a weird version of the theme. Okay, the other hint I'll give you is
Sounds Mario-ish. Is it Mario-ish?
Nope. Well, it's side-scrolling platformer, sure. Yeah.
Right.
So Mario-ish. It's based on a popular IP, I guess, to call it that. Let's say it this way. It's based on a very popular old intellectual property.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, even then, by those standards, it was very old.
Really? So not Popeye?
Not Popeye. You're too far back.
Too far back.
Yeah, but okay. But you're not too far back. You're getting
right. Well, they didn't have any Disney connections at this point, I don't think. So, or did they?
Chat room thinks it's Choplifter.
Choplifter.
Yeah, they're wrong. They're wrong about that.
Old, but not as old as Popeye. Intellectual property sounds cutesy pootsy.
Uh huh. You know what? I want you to hear this beginning again, and it will. I think it'll give it away this time. Listen again.
Oh my God. How come I didn't recognize the first? Oh my God, that's destroyed.
Yeah.
I only caught a few notes of that, but I'd like to name that tune in four notes.
Yeah.
That sounds like the Flintstones.
It is the Flintstones. We're a stupid game.
I did not even hear that the first time.
It's a bad, it's not a very good game, but I remember playing it back then and thinking it was okay. It's all right. I played it again. Right. That was audio of me playing. It's okay.
Wow.
It's all right. But I wonder, the full title, by the way, The Flintstones 2.
Is that based on the movie?
No. It's super cartoony. It might be why they did it then.
Right.
I don't know, but it's based on the cartoon. Flintstones 2, The Surprise at Dinosaur Peak. It's the full title. Yeah.
I don't think I like that title.
I don't either.
The Surprise at Dinosaur Peak.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing up here on the dinosaur? Ooh, you like that, do you?
Yeah, you like this surprise? Ooh. Yeah, I don't like it either. But there it is. Brian, yours is also, congratulations, well done. Yours is also an NES game. What year are we looking at here?
We're looking at NES, but a few years earlier. This is the 1990 NES game, and I'm trying to remember what I picked. Oh, I know what I picked now. I know what I picked. Okay.
You sure it wasn't?
Aliens.
All right, here we go.
And, no, there's not aliens in this. Well, I guess there could be aliens.
There could be? Oh, no, interesting. So. I'll take that as a hint. Here we go. Hello? Pick up your phone.
Hello, pick up your phone, Zelda.
What is going on here? Was that actually a phone?
This was, this is this is one of those few things, those titles that was never released in Japan, only in North America and Europe.
Okay.
Take that, Japan. What an odd turn.
Okay, give me genre or something here.
It is an action adventure game. So it's kind of like next week's topic, but not, don't get too hung up on that.
Okay. Is it based on a popular no. IP? No.
No.
Did they make sequels?
Yes, they did indeed. Both developed and published by Nintendo, by the way.
Developed by?
Yeah, developed and published. So developed in Japan, but only published elsewhere. Weird.
It's not a Kirby game, right?
No, it is top down though, like original Zelda.
Oh, it is top down.
Yeah, it's got dungeons.
Oh my gosh, I have no freaking idea. Is there any other hints?
Mike Jones, having received a letter from his uncle Steve inviting him to come and visit his lab, arrives on Sea Island after meeting with the chief of the nearby village of Coracola. He finds that his uncle has been kidnapped, and after receiving the island yo-yo, sets out to rescue him.
The island yo-yo?
Yes.
What, is it like the mayor gives you the key to the city, but in this case, it's island yo-yo?
The island's yo-yo.
That's stupid. I have no idea, dude. This is completely foreign to me.
Star Tropics.
Oh, Star Tropics.
Frick. Yes. A game that we're definitely going to do probably in 2023. We got to cover the Star Tropics eventually. Oh. We can't do it anytime soon, though, because we're about to do something similar. So
yeah, the thing we're about to do is going to kind of fit that bill. But yeah, I never played it, but it was infamous even then. It was like, you got to play this game, you got to play this game. And then it was so kind of rare. And, you know, like you said, it was only here that got published. It's weird it was Japanese developed, but now it's all coming. Now it's all coming to me.
Now it's coming back.
What a load.
But yeah, the yo-yo thing was definitely something that stuck with me. I was like, what now? A yo-yo? I was like, okay.
Brian wins this week. That's what's happened here. He's
just won. Barely.
Nicely done, though.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bob. Got it.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Oh, so it's on to go, sir.
Oh, we got smart people in the chat is what you're saying. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Hey, that little zinger there means that it's time for emails. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. Please use it. We'd love to read your email. Like this one from Will, who says, hello, Scott and Brian. Happy New Year. I was listening to your Gauntlet episode. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
And it got me.
Scott needs to release gas badly.
I have the worst. I horked a Coke before the show and I've been holding it the whole time. Anyway, Coke Zero. Got me thinking about a game I spent a year of high school in the mid to late 90s playing on my friend's laptop during the free time in the library. It was a gauntlet-like game that had four players in the same laptop, at least the way I remember it. After a lot of Googling, I'm 90% sure it was Gladiator, but wondering if either of you have played this game. Love the show and all that you guys do. All the best for the new year, Will. Well, thank you, Will. You as well. I have no idea. I don't know what that is. Gladiator.
I'm looking now. It doesn't sound familiar off the top of my head, but it doesn't mean they haven't played it. So known as arcade game, he said?
Nope. It was on his friend's laptop.
Oh.
In free time in the school. Let's see. Top 12. Nope. Gladiator. Nope.
I thought he said, okay.
Gladiator. Taito Corporation. Is this laptop. It? Oh, this might be it. No, because there's no four people. That's one person.
Four player.
Okay, well, there's a game on archive.org, but I don't think that's it. Let's see. Gladiators.
Force the game, four-player Gladiator co-op by Beta Dwarf, maybe?
Ooh, that PGN might be it.
Play-through. Let's see. Arcade. Now, this is an arcade game, 2003 from IGS.
Unless they made it. Well,
I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean they weren't emulating it. It's still four player. I mean, they still could play on their laptop.
Well, now I need to know an answer to this. So anyone out there want to sleuth this out and tell us what that game is, that would be great. He thinks it's called Gladiator. I'm not sure about that part, but four player co-op, gauntlet like on a notebook PC in the 90s. High school. Where I'm sure he had a part right in the middle of his hair. That's what they did back then. And those, what are those huge pants called? The big dumb pants? What was those called?
The big dumb pants you would wear back then that were as wide panted at the top as they were at the bottom.
Yeah, the Kinkos or Kinos or Chinos. What were they called?
Jinko? Is that Jinko?
Those were why?
J-N-C-O. Why?
What did that whole generation, what were you doing? For real?
Hey, man.
What, to this day.
Those were some, hey, look, those were comfy pants.
No, they weren't. You couldn't even get in a damn elevator with those freaking things on.
You couldn't even get in the elevator.
I'm just saying, if they were so great, people would still be wearing that shit, and they don't. None of those 90s kids are walking around in JNCOs anymore, or whatever it's called, however you say it. They were gnarly, dude. I hated those things. Anyway, here's a text also. We got a text from a listener. Let's see. This is from, who is this from? Sorry. This is from TinyBot.
Oh, TinyBot.
Yep. 801-471-0462 or 801-410-HAMS. Wait, no, that's not right. That's not right. Hold on. I want to give you the, I sussed this out the other day. It's super dumb, but I figured out a better spelled out thing for a phone number. Hold on. It is. Okay. It. Let's see. Where's my template? It is.
Here's my.
Oh, no, it is. Okay. 801 is 10 hams.
Is 10 hams.
Yeah. So
T-E-N or T-I-N?
10. So okay. is and hams are the only thing you spell out. So you go 801 is 10 or 10 and then hams. Or if it's easier to remember, 801-471-0462. Just do that.
Just remember the dang number.
Yeah, do that.
By the way, yeah. I post a video I think is the gladiator that he is talking
what,
about.
What
next to the email.
Where? It's next to the email?
In the show notes.
See this?
Yeah, next to the email.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's take a look.
I think that's it.
Okay. He won't be able to see this to verify it. Oh, welcome, Gladiator. Trained team. Ooh, look at all this business. This is very dossy.
Yeah.
Let's get a little audio and just see if, because he'll hear it. There is no audio. Hold on.
Very little.
Okay, so you go out. I'll bet.
Oh, he'll recognize that.
He's hearing this, he's stoked right now.
Yeah.
Because the nostalgia is flowing through him like blood.
Yeah.
Oh, listen to the. They made up that sound for throwing the thing with his own voice. There goes. Okay, that's great. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Nicely done, Brian Dunaway.
We did it. We found it.
We did it. All right. Here's what that text said from 801-471-0462 and TinyBot. TinyBot says, "Hey, you weirdos. Thanks, man. Ever wonder what happens when you drop your beloved Game Boy Advance SP into a bowl of hot soup while playing Super Mario Advance 4? I do.
God, no.
Don't do it. It feels really bad," says TinyBot.
Oh, no. That sounds terrible. But we got to know. Were you able to save it? I mean, did it ever get back?
He didn't say. I don't know.
Oh, you know what would be even worse, though? Even if you did save it, it would smell like soup forever. Every time you'd pick it up, it'd be like.
Yeah, right?
Soup.
Stinky soup SP. S stands for soup. Yeah.
Soupy SP stands for soup. Game Boy Advance soup.
He didn't say if it was back in the day or if he's got like a good version of an SP now.
That for sale on eBay. Game Boy Advance SOUP.
Yeah, SOUP has been in soup.
Right.
Be forewarned.
Uppercase S, lowercase OU, uppercase P.
Yeah. I feel for you, dude. That sucks. My SP,
must be a typo.
My SP is safe and on a shelf right over there.
Yeah.
I love that thing. But I'm probably never going to play it again. I just love it.
Yeah.
I'll emulate it and I'll, you know, I have some carts for it and stuff, but I'm fine. I'll just have it there.
It's fine.
It's a relic that will not be in soup ever. Thank you for that email and that text. If you'd like to email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. And again, text come to us at 801-471-0462. Our next episode, which I'm very excited about, is the four times Sega tried to take on Zelda and almost did it. They almost pulled it off.
The console wars are back.
Yep, they're back, baby. So we're going to talk about a whole bunch of those. How about Govelius or the Valley of Doom or Golden Axe Warrior or Crusade of Senti? Crusader of Senti might be the one that came the closest. It's pretty good. Of course, Beyond Oasis, another one from 95. We're going to talk about those efforts and why they never could quite topple the juggernaut that was the Legend of Zelda series. But Sega tried. They really did. And I think, honestly, in the case of Crusader of Senti, they actually gave Sega only players a taste of it. I really think they did. Anyway, that and more next week here on Play Retro. Brian, I think that's all we've got. Oh, a quick note. We got two brand new patrons I want to thank. I want to thank Toyn. And somebody named Scott, not me, different Scott. They both joined us here recently, and we really thank them for that. It's a brand new month and a brand new year. Please sign up today and support your favorite retro gaming podcast at patreon.com/playretro. That is absolutely us. Monthly benefits, pre-show content every week, and no commercials ever. That's right. head on over to patreon.com/playretro today. I think that's it. Is there anything you'd like to add to the pile?
Hey, you should join me weeknights at 6 p.m. except for Tuesday nights when we do this Play Retro show. Eastern time, I play these games we play in, and I'm going to do it more this week, and I'm going to do some 3D prints, hopefully, of at least one of these, maybe a Golden Axe Warrior, or maybe a Crusader of Senti. I haven't decided what yet. Maybe a Beyond Oasis print, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to do Senti, I think. I think I'm going to play.
I think you should. What should I print? What to talk about it?
Print Little Tiny Shark.
Little tiny. I actually printed a whole bunch of xenomorphs. I didn't show you that I printed this week.
Oh, that's cool. Well, if you're going to do it based on games we're playing,
yeah.
The little dude from Beyond Oasis. Do that.
Yeah, there you go. I think there's probably somebody I can probably print. I don't see anything of Crusaders of Senti, but I'm pretty excited about that. But I think Beyond Oasis has probably got some pretty good 3D prints.
Yeah, and quick note, if you own a copy, an actual cartridge copy, even if it's unpackaged, of Crusader of Senti, that thing's worth like $2,000. It's very
crazy.
Rare. Yeah, one of the most rare carts ever. And unfortunately, that's stupid. It shouldn't have been that way. Sega screwed that up. They effed up.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
way
it.
Way to go.
Thank you all very much. Go play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
This nightmare will never end.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.